So we've just read Psalm 24, and we're going to dig into Psalm 24 in terms of what it has to say to us. So this psalm is just titled a Psalm of David, King David, and many people think that this psalm was written when he was bringing the ark into Jerusalem. And there's a very interesting story you can read in 2 Samuel about his first attempt to bring the ark in went wrong. Sadly, it was a tragic account because they didn't read the instructions in the books of Moses about how he was supposed to travel. And so the ark just got stranded at a guy's house. Anyone know the name of the house where it ended up? Obed-Edom. And if you look up the name Obed-Edom, I haven't got time today, in a concordance, his name is all over that part of the Bible. And God basically blessed his socks off. It's an interesting little study you can do. But anyway, after a while, David realised the Bible and realised the way he should bring the ark in. And there's a little picture of him. And he danced like crazy and brought it into Jerusalem. But this psalm is more than just about what happened on that historic event about 1,000 years before Christ. It also speaks prophetically about when Jesus, the King of Glory, ascended to heaven after his resurrection. And we'll look into that a bit more as well. So let's dig into the first few verses, Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So there's only over 7 billion people alive on the earth now, we think. And of course, it's going up all the time. God knows exactly how many human beings are alive right now. God founded the earth on the seas and established it on the waters. So this is a great reminder at the beginning of a new year to lift our heads up. You know, you can get down and depressed reading the news all the time and listening to everything that's going wrong in the world. But God wants us to lift our heads up and look to him and to recognize that he's in control and he's going to sort out the mess that this world's in right now. This is a reminder that this planet, you know, the climate is in God's hands. We're not all going to go extinct in the next few years because the Bible says lots of things are going to happen and God's going to sort this world out. He's going to refurbish it. He's going to renovate it. He's going to make it brand new and perfect and fresh and just the way it should be. So we don't need to worry about the future of the planet from that point of view. And also, everything in the world is God's. God created everything. And everyone in the world belongs to God. Whether they want him as their God or not, they all actually belong to him. So that gives the right for God ultimately to decide what is going to happen to every human being. And the Bible says every human being is going to stand before him. And the name here, the Lord, in the Hebrew, is this YHWH. We don't know what the vowels were, because the Jewish people wouldn't write the vowels. The name was so holy, they revered God's name so much they wouldn't even say his name. And that was partly because they didn't know who God was. And it was only when Jesus came and revealed what God's like that we now know what his name is. And it's interesting that the name Jesus, which in Hebrew is Yeshua, you can kind of put some vowels in there and make that into Yeshua fairly easily. So we know that Jesus is who God is revealed as. So it's interesting, when David wrote this song, he's looking back to Genesis chapter 1, and he's remembering on day 3 of creation that God created the land he separated the land from the waters, and he called the waters sea, and obviously we've been living on the land. So this is just David's thinking right back to creation. So, through my talk today, we're going to break into just twos and talk about some things. I have got a load of post-its and pens at the front in my bag, at the front if anyone wants to write down anything you're talking about. So, just in twos, in pairs, or twos or threes, let's think about, just talk for a few minutes, about how much of your life, your health, and your ability is from God. Okay, as we begin this year, it's good to have a right attitude to God and acknowledge who he is and what he's done for us. And then just think about what can you thank God for as you begin this new year? Okay, so I'll just pause the recording.
And I'll give you just a few minutes to do that.
Okay, we're going to carry on looking at Psalm 24. Okay, so let's go. Verse 3 asks a really important question. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Now, in the Old Covenant, that was a real question. Moses was the only one who got to go up Mount Sinai and meet God, and everyone else was shaking at the bottom. It says they were so frightened, they didn't even want to touch the mountain. But through Jesus, that question has a very different answer. Who may stand in his holy place? And people who are wise will ask themselves this question. And it used to be a question that was a lot more commonly asked in this country than it is today. And there was a time when everyone really wanted to make sure that they were acceptable to God. They didn't want to be excommunicated. And there was a lot of religious tradition. I've been reading some historical fiction books over the holiday set in the Wars of the Roses, when, you know, everybody, you know, wanted to be baptized. Everyone wanted to make sure, you know, they were in a good place with God. Whereas today, probably the most commonly asked question is, how can I be happy? You know, whatever makes me happy, I'll, in my own mind and my own ideas, I'm going to do that because that's the most important thing. However, what this psalm reminds us is that in the long term, happiness only comes from being in a right relationship with God, our creator and our provider. Because we all belong to him. We're all going to be meeting him one day. So David not only asked an important question, he asked the most important question that people need to answer. So this is good for us to share with our people of peace, the answer to this question. So David says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness. I love that word righteousness, from the God of his salvation. It's an old-fashioned word, but what it means is you being who God created you to be, and you being all that God designed you to be. And that can only be experienced through Jesus Christ. And he finishes off by saying, this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. And so clean hands, COVID, we all got paranoid about clean hands, didn't we? But only, I mean, I work at the NHS, so every year I have to do a hand hygiene course where they smother my hands in ultraviolet soap, and they've got a UV lamp, and then I have to go and wash my hands. And then after I've washed my hands, they check whether I've done it properly, because I then have to put my hands under this UV lamp. And if I haven't washed them properly, you see little bits of UV gel still under my fingernails and stuff like that. So the last couple of years, I've scored 100%. I'm pretty good at washing my hands. But that doesn't impress God in and of itself at all. Okay, it's talking about our actions. Our clean hands means the things you do are clean in God's sight. A pure heart is a different matter. That's talking about your motivation. And, you know, you can do the wrong thing for the wrong reason. You can do the wrong thing for the right reason. But you can do the right thing for the wrong reason. But it's best to do the right thing for the right reason. So that's, you can think about all that. It's quite profound things to think about there. But it's really only Jesus is the only human being who's lived with clean hands for his whole life and a pure heart. So everything Jesus did, he did the right thing for the right reason. The only human that's ever done that all through his life. And we can't make our hands clean to God. We can't purify our own motives. Only our Creator and Jesus, our Saviour, can make us pure and holy in both our actions and our motives as we trust in him. He is the only true God. So it says here that we do not lift our soul up to an idol. There's only one true God. Everyone worships something. You know, a lot of people in this country worship themselves. They are the God of their lives. Other people worship Muhammad or Hinduism, all the gods, pick your own God of Hinduism. or Buddha or you know, all the other kind of things. But there is only one true God that deserves our worship. And the good news that we have as Christians is that God established the new covenant, which is better than that old covenant, through Jesus. And because of this new covenant, Jesus, who has clean hands and a pure heart, who never lifted up his soul to an idol, he never said a deceitful word, he only ever told the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, he has given his righteousness to us who believe. Amen. So we are as perfect in God's sight, our hands are as clean, and our hearts are as pure now as Jesus are. Amen. So tell the person next to you, I'm as clean and pure as Jesus. Welcome to East and Leroy, you're as clean and pure as Jesus today. Amen. And so we can ascend his holy hill. We're not talking about flying to Egypt and finding Mount Sinai and going up that one. We're talking about Mount Zion, which is a picture of heaven. And even the new heaven on the new earth, we're going to be able to go into the new Jerusalem where there's going to be no night, there won't be need for a sun, and we're going to be able to look our Father God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit face to face, look them in the eye, without fear, without guilt, without shame. Isn't that wonderful? So we're going to, maybe you want to discuss this next question with someone else. You don't have to stick with the same person. This question is, how can I trust Jesus? How can we trust Jesus to give us his pure and unselfish motives and loving actions? How can we trust Jesus to help us with loving actions to others this year? So let's just think about that for a minute and talk about our relationship with Jesus together for a few minutes. Okay, so when we were answering that question, how can you trust Jesus to give you pure and unselfish motives and loving actions this year, I was thinking about proactively praying for my colleagues at work, my Holy Spirit given prayer language. It was great to have two of them come to the Christmas carol service with their husbands, and that's just encouraged me to expect God to do more in my workplace this year. So we're looking at Psalm 24. Now, the first section of the psalm was talking about the greatness of God who created everyone and everything and the world. The second section we've just looked at was talking about how can we have a right relationship with God? How do we get clean hands and a pure heart? How can we go right into God's presence? Now, in the third section, it talks about opening up the gates to welcome the King of Glory in. And this is interesting. That's a picture of the old gate, the main gate into the city of London in the medieval period. And I found this quote. When the King of England wanted to enter the city of London, he would go through, this is called Temple Bar, this gate. And the gate would be closed against him on ceremonial occasions. And the herald would demand, open the gate. And then someone from inside London would shout, who's there? And he said, the King of England. And then they'd open the gate and he'd come in and they'd have a big celebration. So probably a lot of fanfare going on. But now we're talking about, what gate are we talking about here in Psalm 24? It says, lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of Glory. So that repeats, doesn't it? It's kind of effectively asked the question twice. In Hebrew, when they wanted to emphasize something, they didn't have bold typeface, so they basically repeated it. And that meant, this is important. If you weren't listening the first time, listen up, this is important. And so David wrote this psalm, we believe, when he was bringing the ark into Jerusalem, 2 Samuel 6. And it was also fulfilled prophetically when Jesus ascended from the earth back into heaven. Remember Psalm 22, it's prophetically when he's on the cross suffering for our sins. Psalm 23, he's our shepherd. Psalm 24, he's going into heaven. And it's also fulfilled in terms of us here and now today when we open our hearts to Jesus as King. And as I was praying on New Year's Eve for this year ahead, I felt God say to me, lift up your head. And what does that mean? It means I need to keep my heart open, the gate of my heart open to Jesus all the way through this year. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it's a great verse to share with non-Christians who've never opened their heart to Jesus. But actually, it was written to a church, this verse. It was written to Christians who've already made Jesus their Lord. And Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And we have a choice every day. Who do we give our attention to? And with the internet, with social media, streaming TV, it's probably harder than ever before to give our attention exclusively to the Lord, because we've got more distraction than ever before and more entertainment than ever before. And the big tech firms know that your attention equals money. And, you know, the more of their attention they can capture. So Facebook's trying to get your attention off Google. Google's trying to get your attention off Facebook, because the more of your attention you get, the more ads they can sell. That's the way it works. But I think Jesus deserves our attention a lot more than Jeff Bezos and, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and all those very wealthy guys. So we need to think about what choices can we make this year so that the door of our heart is wide open to Jesus and we can eat with him every day. And what do we feed on? We feed on his words. We listen to his voice. And we've got the choice to do that, or we can close the door and listen to other things, our own thoughts or other people's voices and opinions, social media influencers, you know, YouTubers, TV actors, musicians. And okay, it's good to enjoy those things, but what we need to do this year is to give Jesus first place and priority access into our hearts. Amen. So our final question to discuss is, what daily habits and choices can I make to help me let Jesus into my heart every day of this year, into my mind, into my thoughts, and into my decisions? So let's just finish off by discussing that together, and then we'll move into a time of taking communion.